note that the hymn concludes with, thinking about the final day of judgment, that no one trusting in the Lord Jesus will have any concern when they stand before God, because the Lord Jesus has paid it all, and he will be there as our friend. Well, let's take our Bibles now and turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. You know that Hebrews has much to say about the superiority of the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ, seeking to encourage Christians to trust in the Lord Jesus. I want us to read in Hebrews 12, beginning at verse 18, and we'll read down to verse 24. Hebrews 12 and verse 18. For you have not come to what may be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that no further messages be spoken to them. For they could not endure the order that was given, if even a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Now, one of the things we tried to teach our children when they were very young was their full name, our street address, and our telephone number, so that if they ever were out somewhere and they got lost, it could be used as a way to help them find their way home. They knew their name, where they lived, and what the telephone number was. The Christians to whom this book was written were lost. They didn't know where their home was. They had grown up as Jews, believing the things of the Old Testament, going to the temple when they could and offering their sacrifices for their sins. Moses was their hero. They had the law of God, both the moral law and the ceremonial law, and they understood what all the sacrifices were for and the various festivals where they would gather at Jerusalem. That had been their home. But then they were converted to Christ. And they were brought to understand that all of those promises in the Old Testament and all of those sacrifices were pointing to the Lord Jesus, and that the Lord Jesus was the fulfillment of all those things. He was the Savior that they were to trust in. Their new home was the church, where they had brothers and sisters bound together in the Lord Jesus. But since then, they had become lost. The persecutions that they had experienced began to make them wonder, was their conversion to Christ really worthwhile? Had they lost more than they had gained? Should they think about going back? So they were like young children in many ways who had lost their way and they didn't know how to find home. The writer of this letter is taking pains to show them where they really belonged. By his constant comparison between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, he was emphasizing the superiority of Jesus Christ to everything that the Old Covenant had to offer. In fact, he showed them that the Old Covenant system was simply a shadow of all of the good things that were to come in the gospel. These verses before us are a powerful example of the writer showing them, this is where you used to live, but this is where you live now, and your new home is far better than your old home, and this is how you find your way home. Well, let's look at 2 points this afternoon from this text that we've read. First of all, the experience of the Jew and the experience of the Christian is compared using 2 mountains. So the experience of the Jew under the Old Covenant, the experience of the Christian under the New Covenant is compared using 2 mountains. The first mountain is described in verses 18 to 21 when he says, "For you have not come to what may be touched." He's clearly referring to Mount Sinai in the Arabian desert, that place where Israel came as a nation after they had been brought out of Egypt, and there they camped before the mountain, and they met God, and God spoke to them, and God gave them his law from that mountain. And in this summary statement, the writer is telling the people that the experience of the Jew under the Old Covenant is demonstrated by the experience of Israel at Mount Sinai. What they knew there in the presence of God in front of that mountain describes the Old Testament experience of believers. The second mountain is described in verses 22 to 24. "But you have come to Mount Zion." And here he's even more specific, identifying Mount Zion as the new home of the believer. And the experience of the believer in coming to this heavenly city, it's not Zion, the Jerusalem of physical Israel, but it's Zion, the new Jerusalem, heaven, that the writer is speaking of. He's saying the experience of the believer in the new covenant is like coming to this heavenly city. And that experience describes what it means to be a true Christian. So compare believers under the old covenant, believers under the new covenant. You've got 2 mountains. And what Israel experienced at Sinai describes the experience of the old covenant believer. What the New Testament believer in Christ experiences in coming to heaven describes our experience as believers today. The second point, let's look more closely at these 2 separate experiences of the old covenant and new covenant. He's telling us that to be a worshiper of God under the Old Covenant was to be like a Jew standing at Mount Sinai. Now, what were the main characteristics of that experience of the people when they were camped there in front of that great mountain? Well, the writer reminds us it was a very physical experience. They could look on a mountain. It was a mountain that if they had been allowed to, they could walk up and touch and even maybe climb on. That was prohibited, but it was a physical place. And when God descended down on that mountain, there was a manifestation of physical signs to indicate that he was there. There was fire burning and smoke going up like from a furnace. There was a storm on top of the mountain with its lightning and its thunder and darkness. And then there was that piercing sound of the trumpet that called them to worship God. And then the very voice of God, which they could hear with their ears, that caused the people to beg that Moses would be a mediator for them. They couldn't stand to listen to it anymore. So it was a very physical experience. And this physical experience was something that was terrifying to them. They heard the voice of God. They couldn't stand it. They couldn't take it. The command about not touching the mountain or they would be instantly killed was terrifying. Even Moses confessed how afraid he was. The quote given here in verse 21 when Moses said, "I tremble with fear." That appears to come from the reference in Deuteronomy 9, the story of the golden calf. When Israel was still there and Moses had gone up into the mountain for 40 days and he was receiving the law from God and he came down and Aaron had made the golden calf and they were partying and dancing around it and Moses threw the law down and then he went back up to God. As he saw God, he exclaims, "I'm trembling with fear," even for Moses. The sight of the aroused wrath of God caused him to cry out in fear. So it was a physical experience. It was a terrifying experience. And the whole experience was meant to impress upon these saints that they had to keep their distance from God. They couldn't come right up to him. There were the boundaries in front of the mountain. God said, "Don't cross the boundaries." There was the terrifying storm and fire that would make them stay back. The awesome voice, the command of warning, keep your distance from God. Yes, they were to come and worship. They were to listen to his voice, but they must only come as close as God would allow them. There was always a barrier between them. That was the experience of old covenant believers. By contrast, think of the experience of the new covenant believer as he's come to this second mountain, Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem. What are the main characteristics of this experience? Well, it's not physical realities, now it's spiritual realities. And the writer says to us who trust in the Lord Jesus, you've come to heaven, you've come to angels, you've come to God himself, you've come to be part of believers who've already died and gone to heaven. Now, think of all of those categories. You can't see any of them. You can't see God. We can't see God. We can't see angels. We can't see the believers who have gone there. We can't see that heavenly city. It's an entirely spiritual experience as opposed to the physical experience of the old covenant. And along with it being a spiritual experience, it's not one of terror, but one of joy. Not one of terror, but one of joy. As the writer here describes the scene in heaven to which we have come as believers in the Lord Jesus, it's marked by great gladness and joy. In my ESV, it reads, "You've come to innumerable angels in festal gathering." In the New American Standard, I think in the footnote it reads, "You've come to myriads of angels or angels in festal assembly." The idea is that the writers are describing the angels in a great celebration. It's probably a description of what we read in Revelation 4 and 5, where God is on the throne and the Lamb is there and the angels have gathered around and then all of the believers from the Old Testament are there. And it's a celebration of the victory of Christ. It's a time of great joy. Along with it being spiritual and joyful, it's an experience marked not by distance, but by nearness. Not by distance, but by nearness. There's this repeated refrain and emphasis in the closing verses of the section. You have come to these things. You have come to these things. The idea is that we've walked right up to them, and it's almost like we're participating in them. You're not being held back. There's not barriers keeping you away. You have come to these things. He even says, you have come to God, the judge of all. And you would think that that would make us afraid. And yet, the writer says, we've come to him. We stand right before him. And though he's the judge of all, we stand there without fear, but rather with joy and gladness. There are no barriers here. There's no separation. There's no enforced distance. This is the experience of the new covenant saint. We're already seated with Christ in glory. We're already part of that gathered throng up there. It simply remains for us to leave this life and to go there and experience the fullness of what God has planned for his people. So, what a difference between what was the experience of believers under the old covenant and what is the experience of believers today. Now we ask the question, what makes the difference? There's obviously an incredible difference between these two experiences. What makes the difference? Well, the answer is given to us in verse 24. And you have come to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. The sacrificial blood of the old covenant was like the blood of Abel that was spilled in Genesis chapter 4. It couldn't satisfy the wrath of God against sin. Rather, it cried out for vengeance. It pointed to sin and said, something has to be done. There must be payment. And that was the reminder given to every believer in the old covenant when he came to the temple. Every time you would come with your goat or your lamb or your ox and bring it to the priest, and its neck was slit and the blood was slain, there was the reminder, somebody has to pay for my sin. Some sacrifice has to be made for my sin. It cried out for vengeance, for the payment of justice. But the blood of our mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ, is entirely different because it cries out to the throne of God that everything has been paid for. That the justice of God has been perfectly satisfied. Our sins have been paid for. Everything that was against us has been taken away. The blood of Jesus speaks of payment in full for all of our sins. And look at what it has done. It has removed the terror that the old covenant saints experienced. It has brought us right into the presence of God, and it is granted that we can have joy in God's presence and not terror. Now, these are two homes. And remember, they'd been brought up in this one home. They'd been transferred over to this new home, trusting in the Lord Jesus, and they'd gotten lost. And they didn't know where home was. They didn't know where to go. And so the writer says, here are these two homes. Over here, physical things. You've got the temple. You've got priesthood. You've got sacrifices. You've got festivals. Things that you can see. But look at what went along with that. Terror and fear. And a sacrifice that reminded us our sins deserve judgment. Look at this home. It's being part of the heavenly Zion. It's coming to God. It's entering in with the angels in this time of celebration for our Lord Jesus Christ. If those two homes were presented to you, which home would you want to be part of? Where would you want to go? Well, clearly back to Christ and all that he has offered. Brethren, this is our home. This is where we have come through the gospel. And again, the challenge is to believe these things because you can't see them. We can't see that we belong in heaven, that we're part of what's going on up there. We can't see our God seated on his throne. We can't see the Lord Jesus at his right hand. We can't see the angels. We can't see the celebration. But that's our home. And that's what God has made us a part of. And so we just need to keep trusting the Lord Jesus until faith becomes sight. And that heavenly experience is an experience of reality where we're there and we're able to enter into those things. And this table keeps reminding us that's our home. The place that Jesus has purchased for us by his sacrifice and by his shedding on the cross. Shedding blood on the cross. So brethren, if you ever get lost in your spiritual experience, just come back here and look at these two homes and remember what Christ has purchased for you and begin to rejoice that God has brought you near and that all of these things are yours because of the work of Christ.